a part of our worship service today, I want to brag a little bit on the faithful members and attenders here at South Bay. And if you're considering whether or not to make South Bay Bible Church your home church, I think this might help you decide, because this is a great representation of who we are as a church body. As many of you know, there is a tremendous amount of hurt and pain in our world today. We have to acknowledge that this morning. Loved ones passing, and we can't be there at the hospital with them as they depart this earth. And then, to top all of that off, we can't have a funeral service in a timely manner because of all that's going on. That's painful. Millions of people have lost their jobs. Unprecedented numbers of people have lost their jobs and are now hoping to collect unemployment, if that's possible, in certain areas and in certain jobs. Business owners have closed shops by the thousands and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe never to reopen again. There's a tremendous amount of anxiety that maybe I'll catch this virus. A tremendous amount of anxiety. And so many of you are going through such an incredibly painful time. 2 weeks ago, David was going through a time, as we all are, and he called South Bay for food. He was at the end of his ropes, doesn't have a job, doesn't have a means to supply. And of course, we took food to him right away, no strings attached. In that package, we put some encouragement. And this is one of the things that goes into the bag of food. They can throw it away or read it, whatever they want to do with it, but we put it in there. And David took time to read it's Are You Good Enough to Go to Heaven? It's a little gospel tract. Last Tuesday, about a week after David got his food, he called me at South Bay, just called my cell phone. That was in the package too. And he hadn't been sleeping well, understandably so, with everything going on. He had so much anxiety about coronavirus and his jobs and all of this stuff piling up on him. But his biggest concern was, is he good enough to go to heaven? He read this track and he just needed to talk to somebody. So David prayed with me last week to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He did that over the telephone. Yeah, and that's a possible, right? And he's not the only one that did that. We had many of these conversations. We've been able to talk to so many people about where they stand with God as a result of your giving and us being able to take food out and minister to people just like that. God is using this pandemic in our world today to draw so many people to faith in Christ. And church, you're part of that. You're part of that through your giving. We believe the church is the hope of the world. That's one of our foundational beliefs that our church is built on. And because of your generosity, South Bay is on the front lines of this pandemic, helping and reaching our community. And because of the investment we've had in internet technology, we've had 20,000 visitors to our website alone last month. Through your giving, that was all possible and built. We're able to help, talk, and reach people all around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many people are coming to faith. Listen, I want to invite you, whatever your situation, whether you have a lot of resources or whether you just have a little bit, we want to invite you to continue your worship this morning and participate with us in giving to the Lord's work. People are blessed through this. And it's a tangible way to express the faithfulness that God has given us in our lives. And we, through that giving, are able to meet so many spiritual needs. So at the bottom of your screen are two secure ways to give online right now. If you've never given online, and I understand that, this is so unusual in our time that we live in with all the new stuff that we have to learn, but try it. It's so easy. And we're going to give you a few minutes to complete your online giving while the band comes and leads us in our last worship song before we have our message this morning. So click there, give, and let's pray for your offering today. God, you have blessed us so well, so amazingly well. And Lord, through those blessings that we've given back to you, God, you've allowed your church through online technology and telephones and giving of food and all these tangible ways we're meeting needs, God, helping people with bills and all the stuff that's going on. Lord, you've allowed us to meet spiritual needs and lead people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ that, Lord, they would know for sure if they die, they would go to heaven. And God, we praise you. That's what Easter is all about. And the church is the means by which you carry the most important message to the world. We can heal coronavirus, Lord. That's great. But Lord, if people don't get their soul in line with Jesus, there is nothing gained. So God, we pray for the healing of many. Lord, with this coronavirus, we pray for those experts that they would find the cure and vaccinations and all of that. But God, right now, Father, we need a revival. And that's going to take your church stepping up and doing everything necessary to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through the entire world. So God, use this offering. Bless the gift and the giver. And see to it, Lord, that it gets used and multiplied throughout your kingdom's work to lead so many people to faith in Jesus. God, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Free indeed. Oh, that The stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb.
Go to the Word for a few moments. We'll be just quoting a lot of the Scripture as we go through, so I'm going to have you just pay close attention and we'll move forward in that manner. But today, we are clearly living in unprecedented times, perilous times in many people's lives. We have an entire country, the entire country, the economy is perhaps one the greatest in the world, our economy. And it came in one day to a grinding halt, just zooming along, doing incredibly well, record numbers, and then all of a sudden, it's like somebody pressed the stop button. We have millions of people, we just prayed and talked about that, millions of people have lost their jobs. A record number of unemployment claims being filed. Some people can't file unemployment. They've changed the rules to make that possible. That's a super blessing. A record number of businesses closing all over the world, small businesses that didn't have enough reserves to go through a time like this, and they may not ever reopen. They probably won't reopen many of those businesses. A fear and anxiety at unprecedented levels. This is the current reality that we're living in, and if somebody would have said this to around Christmas time, if this would have been the case, we probably all would have all laughed and scoffed at that. We all want hope. We all want peace. We all want relief from everything going on. We want to just leave our house and be normal and go back to normal. We want to reopen our businesses. We want to reopen our church and have the place full, meeting three times every weekend again. We want our prosperity back, don't we? We want our lives back. That's what people want. The president said in a news conference, he's having daily news conferences now, he said in a news conference this week that we would be back better than ever before. It's going to be like a rocket ship, he said, and that's what the economy is going to return to very soon. I hope so. Perhaps. I think that's our dream for everybody. But the problem is, if we do not make some serious changes spiritually, it will not be very long before all of this comes crashing down again, because there's something bigger than the Federal Reserve. There's something bigger than the inner workings of our government. There's something bigger than the American consumer. And if we want lasting change, then something needs to happen on a spiritual level. Our country was built on Christian values, and we could recount them for hours today, literally going through all the nuances. Some people have written entire series on the different blessings and how our country started. And as a result, because we were started on Christian principles, and we blessed Abraham and Israel, and all of that was woven into the fabric of our foundings, we have been blessed far beyond any other country on earth. Do you know, and you may not know this, in 1636, something extraordinary happened. It was the start of the first college, higher learning education in our country. The college was New College. It's since had its name changed over the years. Reverend John Harvard started the university, and now it's known obviously as Harvard University. The purpose of New College, the purpose of Harvard University in the founding moments of that college, the purpose was to educate clergy. Isn't that extraordinary how far we've come? The motto of the college was, "Under God she flourishes," because the bedrock of our society was Christian. Somewhere along the way, we've lost that. I mean, you can't hardly mention the name of God if it's not used as a curse word on the campus of Harvard today. It slid so far from our founding, from its founding. Yale, another landmark institution, upper higher learning institution in our country. We want children to go to Yale, right? And Harvard and Princeton. Yale was started by a Puritan as a way to educate their ministers. Princeton was started as a Presbyterian school. And get this, Jonathan Edwards was one of its first presidents of Princeton University. You don't know who Jonathan Edwards was? He was one of the famous preachers of our day. We're going to reference something he said he preached later in this message. We could go on all day long on the different ways that our country was founded on Christian values. America was Christian, is a Christian nation. On the top of the Washington Monument, the Latin words translated mean "Praise be to God" at 555 feet, the highest building in the entire world at that time. In the colonial era days, when we were first founded as a nation, the saying, this thought was prevalent among the people of our country. America might become the principal seat of the glorious kingdom which Christ shall erect upon the earth in the latter days. Isn't that just unbelievable and incredible? But somewhere along the way of all of our prosperity and blessing, societies, even ours, has a tendency to lose sight of the blesser, lose sight of the one who's giving the blessing, and we end up leaning into that blessing and making it the object of what we worship, of what we are all about. And in one day, God managed to strip that all away. He pressed the stop button. Now, within a couple of weeks, God has completely shut everything down. Everything. I know to some it's quite offensive to think God did this, but God is in total control. God is completely sovereign over all the affairs of the entire world. There's nothing that escapes God's attention. So we can't lose sight of that fundamental principle, of that fundamental doctrine. Many times in Scripture, God brought plagues on disobedient and sinful people because they ignored His righteous decrees and they failed to keep His ways. In Noah's day, He flooded the whole earth and saved 8 people. In Nebuchadnezzar, He raised His voice, powerful King Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the world at that time, raised His voice against God in pride. And God took away his sanity in an instant, in a moment. Passover, we just celebrated Passover last Wednesday, and it's an annual reminder of the day that God brought the final plague on a rebellious people, the rebellious people of Egypt, and slaughtered the firstborn in male in every family throughout that land, who did not put the blood of the Passover lamb on the top of the doorframe and on the side post of each door. Because they didn't believe God. Because they were wicked and stubborn people who refused to do right by God, to acknowledge Him as Creator and Redeemer and Lord and Savior. There are so many times in Scripture that God brought calamity on people who refused to acknowledge Him, refused to obey Him, refused to trust Him. Sodom and Gomorrah, we could list them for a long time up here today and go through those stories for the rest of the afternoon. The troubled people in every one of these stories have a common theme. They were given so many opportunities to repent and turn back to God. But when they refused over and over and over again, after chance after chance after chance after chance, God allowed and sometimes even sent terrible plagues and destruction on people who remained stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and rebellious. The question we must ask is, are we deserving of God's wrath, or are we as a country deserving of His continued blessing? Which is it? We have so much national sin to confess. If we want the way to back to God, it is Easter. Easter is the solution. You can't have hope without Easter. We have so much national sin to confess, and God has been warning us for years and years and years to repent and place our faith and trust and look back to Him. But we have stubbornly refused. One of those incredibly noteworthy times that we were warned as a nation, and it went viral before viral was a thing, was January 1996, 24 years ago. Pastor Joe Wright opened the Kansas House of Representatives with prayer. And you've probably seen this prayer so popular. You've seen it, but it still remains true because we still haven't, after 24 years, and God continually warning us during all of this time, we still remain stiff-necked and haven't repented of these simple sins. He prayed this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You today to ask Your forgiveness and to seek Your direction and guidance. We know Your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of Your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's property and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide us and bless these men and women who have come, been sent here to direct to us to the center of Your will. I ask it in the name of Your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Several congressmen and senators walked out of that room that day. And that's kind of been the heart of America ever since. That was 1996. Every Sunday across our nation, pastors are lifting up their voices, and many, many of them are preaching false doctrine. I get that. I'm ashamed of that, and I'm sorry that's happened in our country, but many of them are calling our country to repentance and have been for years. Billy Graham has been doing this for years and years and years. Repentance begins with personal repentance. Your repentance and my repentance, it always does. Listen, if we have sin in our hearts, if we've lied, if we've stolen, we committed adultery in our hearts or had any sexual perversion outside of the holy bounds of matrimony between a man and a woman united together under God, anything outside of that is sin unto God, grievous sin. If we've had other gods ahead of Him, if we've set things aside, like we've embraced materialism and set that above God, and we've been too busy to honor and worship Him just one day a week, that's keeping the Sabbath day. If we've coveted our neighbor's property, if we've used God's name as a curse word, or we've had hatred in our heart, it's the same as murder. We have our own personal sin that we need to repent of and return to God, and then we need to confess the sin of failing to give that message to everyone we come in contact with, because personal repentance leads to obedience to God and sharing our faith so that the nation can repent. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. Three incredible words, because we deceive ourselves thinking we're better than we are. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God will not be mocked. How many times must He call our country to repentance before He wipes it off the face of the earth? How many times will He call you to repentance before He takes your life and casts you into eternal destruction, hell forever and ever and ever without remedy? It's not just national sin that we need to repent of. It starts with personal sin. It starts with your life right now. For the disobedient, God's mercy does not last forever. Do not deceive yourselves in thinking you are right with God. And many times the problem with that is we've created a God in our own mind that smiles upon our lifestyle. After all, we're better than the next guy. But that's not true at all. There is one God who does not succumb to your thoughts, who does not answer to what you think He's like. He is God Almighty, and He dictates the terms of salvation, and He has granted those terms of salvation in Easter. That's the solution, Easter. Nearly 2,000 years ago, God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, who knew no sin, yet He became sin for us. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus showed up on earth and had no sin, yet He died. He did not die for His own sin. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. He died for America's sin, for every single person who would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. They can have salvation, and have salvation only in the name of Jesus. But we turn to many other things, including our own success, which leads us astray. How long will God put up with us? I'm afraid not much longer. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61 said, your hearts must be fully committed. Can you just say that out loud with me? Fully committed. One more time. Fully committed to the Lord our God. There is no half-hearted obedience here. You cannot be lukewarm. He will vomit you out of His mouth. Your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord your God to live by His decrees and obey His commandments. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is such an applicable verse to our day. Listen carefully. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Is that not what we want this Easter? To have our land healed? To have our sins forgiven? Matt, we're going to close in a minute. If you would come play the keyboard. If we want our land healed, then we must obey what the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 2. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Isn't that what we need? Our sins wiped out? Isn't that what we desire? To have times of refreshing come from the Lord? Confess and repent of our national sin. But confess and repent of your personal sin and place your personal faith and trust. Renew your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. And don't just tune in on Easter. Show up every week, either online or in person, and fully embrace, wholly committed to the Lord. And then tell everyone you know to do the same. You want to know the real national pandemic? The real international pandemic is not coronavirus. It's sin. And the solution God has for this pandemic is Easter, is what Christ did for us on the cross. He didn't just let us die. He could have done that. But he promises us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus proved that by raising from the dead. For our land to be healed, permanently healed, it requires repentance, a turning to God through Christ. Have you noticed that coronavirus is the worst thing to happen to our world and our country so far? But if you rewind just a little bit in history, not very far, just the last 10 years, we've said that an awfully, awful lot in the last 10 years. Again, we could go through a tremendous list here. I only have a few for time's sake, but remember the Nashville tornadoes just weeks ago? The worst tornado issue that we had in recorded history? Really? That tornado was massive and it stayed on the ground for an hour? Would you have ever believed that was possible? The California wildfires, we have this epidemic of wildfires from 2015 to 2019, and it's really not fire season yet, so who knows? In 2020, we're probably going to have it repeated again, unless our country repents and returns to the Lord, and he allows his blessing to rest here again. Constant flooding around the country. What one internet writer wrote as flood fatigue, because in the same time period, 2015 to current, we have constant flooding, massive flooding, billions and billions and billions of dollars spent on all of these things. Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, 17, Hurricane Harvey in 17 in Houston, Hurricane Sandy in 2012. I'm skipping a lot of things between those dates. A tornado outbreak, you probably even forgot that, with all the other things in the south and east in 2011. It was everywhere on the news. Caused billions of dollars worth of damage. That's just the last 10 years. Friends, it's not global warming. It's God Almighty heating up in anger over the sin of our country and our people. This coronavirus pandemic may pass in a month or two, but if we don't repent, if we don't turn back to God, what in the world is going to happen next? Jonathan Edwards, the president of Princeton University, he wrote a sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I want you to look that up today and read it. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. One of my relatives from way back then, it's written in his journal, that he was in the sermon when Jonathan Edwards preached that. Unbelievable message. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. God's holy and righteous anger is burning against every sinner in our country as a whole. I beg you, I plead with you today, with everything in my body, to turn from your wicked ways, repent of your sin, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing might come from the Lord, and that our land may be healed. The path to healing, the path to restoration, the path back to prosperity, the path back to life is not stimulus. The path back to life and health is the path to Jesus. That's the only sure way. All the others might be band-aids. All the others might get us by for a while, but they'll never sustain us, ever. He, Jesus, is the only way back to God. I know that's not politically correct, but where has that gotten us? On screen, you're going to find two links right now. They're going to put them on and leave them on for the remainder of the service. If you're ready to return to God, we want to bless you with something. We want to give you a new believer's packet and help you grow in your faith, help you learn how to witness and share your faith. We want to help walk with you through this time. And we're going to start that with a new believer packet. So if you go to that website, southbaychurchl.org/I believe, or text I believe to that number on screen, fill out that form. It's secure. It's private. We'll never share it with anybody outside of the church. We'll send you that new believer packet this week. Pray. God, we come before you today. Lord, I wanted to preach a completely different message today, but God, we had to honor you with what you want to preach because, Lord, this isn't my church. This isn't our church, Lord. This is your church. We are the bride of Christ and Lord, brides according to your word. And this is crazy, unpolitically correct, but brides are there to be a blessing to their husbands, the helpmates. So I have no say in what we preach. We have no say in what we do. We are here to honor and glorify you, and we lift up the name of Jesus. We call our nation, and we call its citizens, and we call this world to repentance in Jesus. Because, Lord, if we do not repent, you will wipe us off the face of the map, God. And that isn't a pleasant thought to think. That isn't like, oh, we have this loving God in our heart and mind, and how dare he say that? That is the truth today. And you will not turn away from that because that is what is written in your word. It is our sins that destroy us. And God, today in the name of your servant Jesus, Lord, give us the gift one more time of repentance across this country, repentance across this land. Help us lean into Easter that our sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And God, start with me. Start with South Bay. Start with our community. Start right here in Lord, one of the most liberal parts of New York, Lord. Because God, we've got a lot of repenting to do. We've got a lot of babies that we've killed over the last decades, Lord. We're worried about the 20 or so thousand that have died of coronavirus because of your plague. We shut down the government, but Lord, we keep it open and celebrate when we kill babies every single day. God, we've got to stop this. We've got to stop it in Jesus' name. And God, call us, give us the gift of repentance. Help us see you working in every heart, Lord. This is not acceptable to you. We can create other gods and say, oh, he smiles on homosexuality and he smiles on all of this other stuff, but you don't. You are God Almighty, and that sin burns in your hearts. God, help us lean into Jesus. Help us put our faith and trust in Christ. Help us turn from our wicked ways as a country, as a people, and lean into the love of God. Because, Lord, it's our only way out of this mess that we created by our own evil hearts, our own thoughts and desires, Lord, that don't glorify you. So, God Almighty, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all the evil that pervades our every thought, God, according to your word. And change us and make us new creatures. Open our hearts to you, Lord, and transform who we are, that we may wholeheartedly embrace everything about you in Jesus' name and learn who you really are in Jesus' name. I want you to fill that form out. I want you to close your eyes. Listen to this song as we close today. Worship.
Thank you for joining us today. God bless.